Hey guys, this is Ishai Breslauer and welcome to the CRE Shark Eye Show, where we discuss commercial real estate. On Mondays, we dive deep into an asset class, and on Thursdays, we go into some inspirational stories for the weekend. Can't wait to start. Let's go. Hey guys, before we continue, I would like to introduce you to the 7-Day CRE Challenge, which will introduce you to commercial real estate and will show you that anyone can do this. Also, I have the free cheat sheet for commercial real estate with the 6 best secrets for commercial real estate. You can download it free. Just click below or above, wherever it is, and get it. Let's continue. Okay, guys, how are you? This is Ishai Breslauer, the CRE Shark Eye Show, and today we have a treat. We're going a bit out of our ordinary conversation about commercial real estate. We're going to do something a little different, but something that I believe is exciting and a lot of people want to hear. And as a guy who's also involved in property technology, prop tech, I really have the appreciation. I'm also involved in the startup world. And there's something here that we need to hear. And there's going to be the next big thing, I believe. And by someone who have made a lot of noise lately, some of you heard in LinkedIn, whatever, I'm not going to get into it, but someone who has tons of influence and following all over. And I'm proud to have him on the show. Joel Wohl, pleasure to have you, my man.
Thank you. Thank you, Ishai.
So listen, so the first thing, thank you very much for being on the show. I really appreciate it. And the first thing I want to ask you is, can you just tell people about yourself, how you started up, you know, where it all started for you?
Okay, so first of all, for those that are not watching this, Ishai is a very handsome man.
Not really. Not anymore. You should have seen me 10 years ago. That was really something.
Yeah.
I know. Look.
Okay. There was, he's a handsome man. Leave it alone.
Right. There was more here. All right. Okay.
You know what? I was telling my father the other day. I said, "Dad, look, I'm getting gray." He's like, "Thank God you're getting gray. You know, thank God. That's it." And it's so true. I mean, you know, my friend that died at 30 with a full head of beautiful blonde hair, he's gone. So we got to appreciate every single day, no matter what.
100%.
I guess that's my intro.
That's a great.
So we've got, what was the question, Ishai?
I want to know how you started it all. I mean, we have such a follow, you have such a voice, and a lot of things okay. That we want to talk about, but how did it all started? Meaning the very beginning, how did you get into being an entrepreneur, getting to this whole thing? What inspired you? How did you get into it?
Okay, so for, I don't like going too much into history because I think for most people, like, it gets boring, but I'll give you like a minute of it. I was living in Canada 2 decades ago now. I was living in Canada for 10 years and it was in Montreal. So just like very old fashioned European, like I had a fax machine. I was doing distribution, getting faxes, you know, shipping stuff out to Toronto and then just wrapping pallets by myself. I think the biggest thing was I either thought I was too smart or I just did not have people talking to me, educating me, saying, "Joel, come into my office for a day. I want to teach you things." And if I did, I didn't listen. You know, I thought maybe I was too smart, but I don't remember getting offered, like, even family members that were successful or friends that were successful. There also was not like the trend of the entrepreneurial mindset that we have today that's so prevalent, right? So someone made money, he made money, she made money, like they did their own thing, right? They're
right.
A successful person in a box. Today, even 10, 15 years ago already or more, but not in Montreal, Canada, not in the community that I was in. You know, successful people do a lot of sharing. They write books. They're on television. And especially now with social media, with Twitter blowing up in the last, you know, 15 years. And if you're in touch, if you're in tune, you learn a lot. You learn a lot about, you know, where you are, where you need to go, and how to get there. And I didn't have that until maybe... 7 years ago or so, when I was, you know, in my 30s, and I really had to start again. And I started listening to podcasts. I started going a little bit out of my bubble, so to speak, and getting more exposed to this world of entrepreneurial activity and action. Grant Cardone was one person that fired me up maybe 7 years ago, like lit my fire, reminded me of who I am and what my responsibilities are, woke up desires that were always in me, you know? Like, I think everyone has kind of...
You have that picture with Grant Cardone. He's wearing your kippah. I saw that. Your yarmulke is very good. Yeah, go ahead.
It's someone recently sent me a little YouTube clip. He says, hey, I spotted you. So apparently someone... I had with me a friend of mine that was filming. But then apparently someone else... which I guess just filming Grant, but he caught that and he sent it to me just recently. He said, hey, look, there you are. That was funny. But there was also like personal stuff going on in my life that I was dealing with for many years. And then things flipped around. I had to start making some moves. So I started getting a lot of information and I started making moves. I started reaching out to people for the first time in my life. I'm like, hey, I can do this for you. I can do that for you. I'm special. Well, how are you special? I don't know, but I can do something, right? I didn't know what I could do, but I knew I had passion. And I got a chance here, an opportunity there. And I started working on different things. I actually started working on with commercial real estate as well, trying to do like triple net deals across the country. I was not afraid. I approached the biggest players in the markets. But wasn't very successful. I was successful in communicating, and if I didn't have a family to support, I'd probably be able to pull it off. But you know, you can't just sit there and try to broker deals but not have food on the table. So
exactly,
I had to
meet the cash flow, as we call it.
Yeah, I mean, but before cash flow, there's like basic bread on the table, right?
Yeah.
So I shifted into consumer products, and then that led to Amazon. That led to me discovering Amazon advertising, which I fell in love with. For the first time in my life, I'm staying up till 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning, clicking and working and researching. And it awoke something in me that I never did that. 5 o'clock in Canada, you leave your office, you go home. That's it.
Yeah.
You made $700 today. Hooray. It's a very different climate. The climate that I was in anyway. I'm sure there are people that are not like that. So I have this thing now, and it's a service. So I started doing a service. And I got to tell you, I was very embarrassed because I was in the consumer product world a little bit. And I got into Amazon. I started joining like different groups and networks, and I have a good voice. Like I know how to create content, like compelling content to catch people's attention. I'm a very big critic, so I'll say things with like a critical slant, and it catches attention, right? So there I am, starting to learn a lot about Amazon, voicing whatever I learned, voicing my knowledge. So I'm kind of like within this big network of sellers. I'm elevating myself to where I'm like from the top 10% in terms of knowledge and communication and talking about it. A lot of people are a lot smarter, but they don't talk. So people start knowing me, but I'm still not making a lot of money. So now I want to start servicing other sellers, but I'm a little embarrassed, right? And it's also within the Jewish community, so people know you, right? Like if it was just
across
the globe, it doesn't matter. You can just go out there and say whatever you want. But this was a very big network within the Jewish community mostly. A lot of people knew me. So what I did, so I asked a friend, I said, hey, listen, I have some skills. I have some time. So I was working for a company. So I had a salary, but I had all these skills that I can do. I can work at night or whatever. So I tell a close friend of mine, I say, what do I do? I want to reach out to people and tell them that I can do this for them, but I don't want to sound stupid. I'm working for $60 an hour, even though that would have been really nice to get, another 10 hours a week, at $60 an hour. It still felt lame for me. Here I am with this big voice. So he says, why don't you say that one of your people is available to work? You'll take the work and you'll, facilitate it. you have extra hands. So I did that, right? Mm-hmm. So I said, hey, I've got a person that's got some extra time, very good work. He can create listings for you. He can manage your advertising. And that's how I started. Now I started a service agency myself, and then I had to start talking about myself, because when you're providing a service, it's not about the product. It is the service, and the service is you. And even if it's a large agency, the service is still you, the founder. And that's why service agencies are never worth many, many times the revenue at sale, because ultimately it comes down to the service that's provided from the founder, you know, the theme, the culture. It's all about who's running this company. So, but what it did was it made me talk about me.
Right.
It made me say, look, I'm honest, I'm straightforward, I'm never going to screw you, I'm never going to double cross you, I'm going to over deliver, I'm going to do good work for you. And it started bringing out my qualities, so to speak. So I had to actually, you know, talk about myself for the first time in my life. Whereas before, I was selling products and I'm just pushing the products. And, you know, it's a hassle. I mean, try selling products these days without, you know, massive like branding support, having, I mean, this shouldn't deter anyone. You can start from zero with a brand, but you have to have, I think you have to go with a very global objective today when you go out with a product. It's not about the product, it's about the brand. But I didn't have that. I was going out with products and trying to put, and then it comes down to price and then your competitor, like it was terrible. Whereas now I'm talking about myself, and now I can charge whatever I want to charge, as long as people, you know, relate to that. They want to buy from me. They want to work with me. So then it opens up to, now I never wanted to waste a lot of time on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Just wasn't my thing. Even though I'm really good at just creating social content and going out there. But ultimately, when you've got a family and you got to support them, it's a little bit of a crime to sit and waste time on social media.
Right.
But I've been using LinkedIn I've been using for many years. And I've been using LinkedIn to find buyers, to find suppliers, to find sales reps, but never to post content, because it didn't before, through, I would say 4 years ago or so, nobody was really posting content. I drove actually a lot of my networking in the commercial real estate space was because I started posting, 60,000 SF, Indiana, major retail.
That's probably how we got connected.
Could be
back in the day.
Retail tenants. I would do these teasers. It was really good. It was sharp. 8.5 cap, and I got a lot. I built a big network around that. A very big network. A lot of people weren't doing that. And then that led into, once I shifted into the Amazon stuff, I started posting about Amazon. I started posting content. People started posting content. And that, it took off from there. That was really, really, like about 2 years ago, that was perfect. It was beautiful. People were engaged. They were intrigued. They were consuming content. It wasn't so much about me. It was actually about me, Joel. It was great because no one else was talking about themselves. I was, it worked great for me. When you're in the center of the room and the only one talking, that's great. That changed. And I think I was definitely contributed to the change. We had the two largest LinkedIn globals. Beryl Solomon started it. He did it in Montreal. Then we did it in New Jersey twice. We got a lot of people very active and very engaged. People started going down that influencer route. Across the country and across the world, different influencers started like really coming up on LinkedIn and started posting and engaging and commenting and liking. And then it shifted way into the personal realm, where people started creating too much personal content. Like, you have to have a really good thin line, a good balance between
the professional and personal content. The individual. Yeah. The personal.
But you want it to convert.
Right.
Like, I've never really wasted time on LinkedIn. I posted the most ridiculous posts that people thought were, they didn't understand it. But ultimately, when the next post was, hey, I'm doing this, who's in? I got 30 emails, and I was just able to convert business. And I was building. I started getting a little bored of the whole Amazon thing, products, advertising.
What did you do on Amazon exactly? Meaning, are you still doing?
So we have an agency. We have an agency. We have a team in Israel, actually. And we manage Amazon advertising for sellers. So just like Google Ads, there's Amazon ads on the platform that the seller typically will manage, or they will outsource it to an agency or to a software company. So that's what we do.
I got it. So you got to that. So that was your passion for a while.
And I started getting...
And you're still doing it, but then...
Yeah, I'm still doing it. We still have that.
Right.
We're actually shifting right now to an all software solution. We've been shifting for a year and a half, but we're at the cusp of it. So then I start getting interested in Israel technology startups. I was always intrigued by it, but now I'm getting very, very interested. So I start a podcast, and I start talking to a lot of startup founders, talking to people in the venture world. I start getting very intrigued by it. Then I, through LinkedIn, I get a deal to come on board with this TV show that's built around tech. It showcases tech startups. The first season was filmed in Israel. It's called Tech Talk. So I joined them maybe 2 months before Corona started. And the intention was, I'm going to be talking about it. I'll be talking to the startups. I'll be trying to bring investors into the circle. I'll be getting a lot of attention through the video, the pictures, the filming, behind the scenes stuff.
Right.
Everything's shut down.
Yeah.
So everything's shut down during Corona time. At the same time, I hooked up also through LinkedIn with an angel group. So I started putting together a group of angels. So to run my own angel group as a partnership with an existing angel group. So I'm really getting heavy. And then the Corona happens. And then LinkedIn goes crazy with the political stuff, and they start banning people left and right. They censor me, they ban me, I'm off their platform. And now I'm like, okay, I got to start from zero. It was devastating.
Very, yeah, I'm sure it was.
I'm not a social guy, I'm not on Twitter. I'm on LinkedIn, and I'm using it to build business.
Right.
To execute business.
Right.
Now everything's gone. I was getting 100,000 views a day on my content. So
crazy.
I didn't do any of the fluffy stuff. Like, what if you look at a lot of the influencers out there, so-called, you know, influencers, they're dancing around, they're talking about depression and mental health all day long, which I talk against it all day because I'm just tired of it. Like, yes, but what's it got to do with LinkedIn? Like, stop it. You know, like, I'm just so tired of it. The reason why I'm tired of it is because people use it. Like, I can come on every day and say, listen, I deal with anxiety. You know, I went to the doctor, but I decided not to take the medication. Like, it actually happened once where I was dealing with heavy anxiety. I was going through a lot of stuff. And the doctor offered me a prescription. I said, no, like, I don't do that. Like, I'm going to fight through it. And, respond to it. Now, I'm not giving anyone medical advice.
Right.
Sometimes you got to do what you got to do. I'm obviously talking about the borderline stuff that everyone deals with. But what happens is because it became a thing, people like me who are just borderline, like, everyone's borderline, right? You have good days and bad days, right? But they'll go out there and say, oh, I'm depressed. And they use it like, oh, come on, like, stop with this nonsense. Or go on Facebook and, but you can't, you don't go to a networking event, a business conference, and get up and be the keynote speaker, and all you want to do is talk about your depression. It's a little weird. People paid $999 for that right. day. They're going to leave. They didn't come
good
for
point.
That. So,
good point.
So now these things are amazing as an influencer, as even as a business influencer. If on January 13th, 2019, you throw that in there, hey, you know what, guys? I want you to know that I'm rocking it, I'm pushing, I'm hustling, I'm grinding, and all that good stuff. But you should know that back in 2017, I dealt with a period of depression. I couldn't get up in the morning, and I fought through it, and thank God, blah, blah, blah. Okay, great. You know, it gives some personal to it. But when you start focusing on all that, anyway, that's another story, but that's what's going on with LinkedIn today. And you got to be really, really, really smart to figure out how to clean up your feed, how to unfollow, how to follow only certain people. So it's not for most people. They don't even understand how to do that. So
I just did it lately, by the way. I went in my Facebook feed and I completely changed the whole feed to people I want to follow and learn from instead of things that are going to waste my time. So I absolutely feel you.
Yeah, it's a lot of work too, right? For most people that are on LinkedIn for the last 2 years and have a few thousand people in the network and, you know, unfollow this one. Oh, I don't want to unfollow that one. Yeah, but the flooding your feed with nonsense. Stay right. Connected, but unfollow them. And it's just important. But that's what happened kind of with the platform. So now I'm out. I think for the last like 12 months or so, it really started getting very heavy, to the social content and basically wasting time content. I mean, like you're working, you're trying to produce. Like mental health, it's great, but there are other platforms for that. There are apps that you can hook up with strangers and talk about your mental health. Like
yeah,
there
but
are so
I many. Yeah, but I want to tell you something about that, and that's my opinion. I don't have the even close to the follower you had. On LinkedIn, I have about 20,000 followers. I don't get those views that you got, you know, not nearly, you know, the likes and stuff like that. Yeah. But I'm consistent, and I can tell you I'm consistent with content, meaning quality content. And right, I don't get that much, and maybe I should have put more, and Beryl Solomon wrote me once, you should put a lot more. But I can tell you that the people who are following are writing me back and forth, meaning day in and day out, they're writing me, I love the content and I really appreciate the content and it gives me something. So I 100% agree. Content, quality content is key. Obviously you have to do a little bit of the other stuff too. And maybe I'm not that great at, I'm getting better than that at that, but it's very, very important to give quality content, especially in a business network. That's why, by the way, I'm not so big because of that.
Well, Facebook also doesn't give you that organic reach, but really what it comes down to is being true to yourself, because people see right through it. They know you're doing it to get likes. Like someone wrote about mental health one time, and someone that I'm relatively close to, but it kind of ticked me off because I knew, do me a favor, you came on here to get 500 likes on this post. So I commented, well, getting 500 likes doesn't hurt that much, does it? Something like that, you know, like yeah, mental health, depression, but you're okay with the 500 likes.
That was the pill.
And he sent me such a nasty message, but I can see right through you. Come on. And if you are doing that, then you've got problems. Like it's a business tool. Use it. Put bread on your family's table. Forget about all the other crap. So I get kicked off of LinkedIn. I got to start from zero.
Okay, so let me ask you about that. One second. So here's what I want to know. And that's what everybody's probably watching us is very, very curious about. And lately, I saw, meaning you got on LinkedIn for maybe a day. I don't know. I know I got a message, meaning I saw you, I liked it, whatever, and you had a message about BizFluence. And I got one second because, you know, when a startup comes out and it intrigues me, I want to know. And that's the way I am. So I was asking, what is it? And you didn't tell me join it. And I got in, and that's very interesting. Can you please tell us a little bit about, first of all, how you transitioned into it, how you got intrigued into doing it, and what is it?
Yeah. So people started telling me, Joel, why don't you start your own platform? And I really laughed at it because you don't just start your own platform. You know, I'm not Gary V, and even Gary V doesn't start his own platform.
Right.
I'm not even one. I don't have 1% of the visibility that he has. Like, it's not like, well, on LinkedIn, great, but take me off LinkedIn and I'm pretty much a nobody. So I thought about it. I was like, okay, but it's a joke. And then that was the, so I got kicked off, and then 2 weeks later I got a final suspension. So after the final suspension, the voices started getting louder. people reached out and said, hey, start your own thing. So somehow we started a couple of people talking about it. What does it actually take to start a networking platform? I don't have a technology background or programming or development. I don't know this stuff. So talking to a couple of people, and we worked through it to an extent that it's doable. Like, you can create something, you know, exactly what that something is. We didn't know, but you could create something for not too much money, and you can start working on something. So once that vision started getting clearer, I go, wait a second, guys, if I build something as an alternative to LinkedIn, it can't be a small community chat, or it's got to be huge. And if it's going to be huge, and it's going to be a multi-billion dollar company at some point, and if it will be a multi-billion dollar company, I don't want to have these partners that I just randomly met just because they're helping me, give me advice and feedback. I said, thank you, guys. Now I'm going to take it from here. So I go to my partner in the Amazon business, he's got a phenomenal head on his shoulders. He's analytical. He's smart. He's got a development background, tech background. I said, here's the thing. Let's do this. Let's look into this. And we start looking into it, and we realize we could do it. So we started. And as soon as we started, I announced that I'm starting something. And this is literally 2 weeks, 3 weeks after I was suspended, maybe even less. Yeah, so people actually started offering us investment money. And I said, wow, that's cool. That's never happened before. I've had a lot of ideas and I've done a lot of things and no one's offered me any money. So now it's serious. So we start working on it and we start looking at the big picture, and then we start hiring legal and accounting and all, you know, all the corporate stuff, and we start building a structure for a real startup. And we got investors in.
So you're at the pre-seed level? That's how you call yourself right now as a startup?
Oh, I'm pre everything. I'm at the concept, friends and family level. I go out there, raise a couple of bucks, not a lot, just to give us a little runway to perfect a proof of concept. We did that over the last 3-4 months. We built a really nice proof of concept. We built a platform, word of mouth, no marketing. We have serious people only, Forex and Bitcoin and all that stuff that you right. find on all the other platforms. And we're coaching people on how to create content that converts. We're creating different networks and interests so that everything is categorized on the platform. So if Yishai comes on and is only interested in commercial real estate, you can find only that in your feed. Or you can click and just see everything. And that's all in our raw beta platform. That's nothing coming even remotely close to what we're planning. And today, as we stand, December 28th or whatever it is, the 29th, we're actually testing our app on Apple. So it's going to be in the App Store this week. We're going to be testing today.
That's big.
We've got, we've got business pages in development, and we've got crazy, crazy plans. So what we, at this point, we're reframing this into the future of work. So LinkedIn networking, it's great, but it's not the real deal. It's almost like, even if you're serious on LinkedIn, it's kind of like a Twitter and a Facebook type of platform. Now some people are using it for recruiting, for hiring, you know, finding people to work for them. They're paying for those services. Some are advertising on LinkedIn, mostly larger companies that have capital to, you know, for $20 clicks on LinkedIn. It's incredibly expensive.
Yes, it is.
For the most part, people are, it's almost like a Twitter / Facebook where you're posting content. Now, as a business person, what do you want? Like, what do you really want? You want to do business. You want to transact. That's it. You want to sell a product or service.
You want conversion, money in the end. That's what we want.
That's all. Yeah. But people have lost sight of that. So what we want to do is awaken that. We're going to have a solid networking platform. But surrounding all that, we want to give you these different abilities. so you can transact, you can share, you can maybe even barter. Look, you got a nice microphone there. I'll trade you that microphone for, I don't know, a cigar solution. Humidifier solution. Or hey, I'll change it. Hey, my mic, you know, maybe you're buying a new mic. Yeah. Hey guys, I'm bartering this mic now. I'm buying a new mic. So I'll trade you a mic for, I paid $200 for 2 years ago. I need a good webcam. Who's got a good webcam? Or you sell it, right? Hire someone for one day a week to be a receptionist. Do an event with people.
Let me barge in for a second.
Anything in the workplace that needs to be transacted, maybe get your sandwiches delivered for lunch, will be accomplished through our platform.
Okay, so let me ask you this. A person goes on a platform. Right now, it's a beginner platform. It's a startup. It's fresh, new. You have a nice follow there. You have a bunch of people over there, but it's not nearly even, you can't even compare it to the other networks, not LinkedIn, not Twitter, not all the other guys, right? Now, so today, if I go and I say, okay, I need, let's say for commercial real estate, I'm going to be specific. I'm looking for someone who works in the Texas area, in the Houston area, who does this and that. I'm looking for something. And people are going to go and say, yeah, I am here. Let's talk and so on and so forth. It'll be very specific right now. You could do also in LinkedIn, but on LinkedIn, you're going to get bombarded by millions and millions of people who you have no idea what. Now, here's the challenge and here's the question. Once you get, because any startup, how do you say, any startup's goal is to become big. You have to be big. You want to be big. And that's where you get traction. That's where you get things done. Once you become really big, how is it going to be done?
Well, it'll be a lot easier and a lot more. There will be a ton more opportunity. Put it this way: let's say there are a million people on the platform. All right, 100,000 in your city or 50,000 in your city. From the 50,000, I mean, the opportunities are endless for 50,000 people to transact with one another. Ultimately, right now, when you go on LinkedIn or on Twitter or on Facebook, and you say now. Facebook has a lot of these different things, right? But the advantage here is you're in your office, meaning when you're on BizFluence, that is your virtual office space, especially now post-COVID, where potentially Yishai and your team could be using Slack-like capabilities to do, I don't know, video conversations with one another. So we're not reinventing the wheel, but we're bringing in or integrating all these different potentially existing technical capabilities, existing apps, build our own app store. So we'll have third-party developers developing these things or create it from scratch, like start a new Zoom. Now you're on the platform, you're doing everything there. Now you want to hire someone. You want to get someone to do a little service for you. You want to consult with someone. On LinkedIn, if you want to consult with someone, here's how it goes. I mean, even if you're wildly popular, hey guys, I'm looking for a coach, a business coach. And you see this all the time. I'm looking for a business coach. Can anyone refer anyone to me? So you get 100 comments, right? You hope that 10 people say the same person. So now you know they've got some credibility. Maybe you've heard of them, maybe you haven't. Plus you get your inbox spammed with like, I don't want a coach to pitch. Like I used to do this all the time. People would inbox me. I'm like, frankly, I believe you. I think you're amazing. I just have no idea. I don't know who you are. Right. So if you're that good, I'm going to wait to see who recommends you. The way BizFluence would do it is to put a call for a business coach, right? Put an RFP, you go out there and you say, seeking a business coach, you do it like for one day or whatever, 12 hours. You can do it on a post. You can do it on the dashboard. People that transact on the platform are going to have reviews, just like on Yelp or on Craigslist, eBay.
How is that technically?
Well,
how is that
I've spoken to Yishai about commercial real estate. I trust him. I paid him $36 for 10 minutes. I gave him a 5-star review. It was transacted on the platform. It was, the payment was processed on the platform. Now earned not only a review, but you also earned points.
I got it. So also payment is processed on the platform.
Oh, for sure. That's how we monetize. We don't give you ads. You're running your workday. You don't want to see ads. There's ads everywhere. You want to work. The same way you won't see ads on Zoom or on Slack or any other business tool that you use, Zoho or Pipedrive. They're business tools. You pay for the tool. Now maybe it's free, maybe there are free versions of it. But ultimately you're using a business tool. When you buy a drill in Home Depot, there's no ads. If there was an ad on that thing, every time you turned it on, it would frustrate you. So that's our thinking. Streamline everything.
So you're gonna make money. One second. Well, let me ask you this. So you're gonna make money, meaning this app, this platform is gonna make money out of transactions, real transactions. Am I correct?
Exactly. When we originally thought about it, we thought transactions are consulting, maybe product selling, your profile becomes like a little website, but we're thinking way beyond that.
So what,
if I have an extra desk in my office, right? Can I then say, hey, anyone in the 12 people around me that are on Bisfluence that are, you know, within a square mile that I can trust, that others can refer because we're all in one area. We probably know one another in some capacity. Hey, you know, for $150 a month, you can come and use this other desk in my office. So integrating all of the sharing economy, the gig economy, the crowdsourcing in its natural place, because we're already connected in a community. So an example, in your community in Israel, in Gush Etzion?
Yeah.
You want to borrow milk from a neighbor, right? You want to get a ride from a neighbor. You want to maybe loan someone money, maybe invest with a friend in your neighborhood. You're in a community. Now, everything you do within that community potentially could be done virtually. And it is done virtually. The sharing economy, Uber and all that other stuff, WeWork. But in a business framework.
So I
anything
think
anything and everything that you need to do so, for your workplace.
So I'll tell you what I think is interesting out of all that. It's meaning the community aspect of where people are, that's okay. But people still, you know, they're still using WhatsApp. They have WhatsApp's group, all these things. And I'm talking WhatsApp because WhatsApp doesn't have ads and to compare that. But I think that
it's coming though.
In my opinion, Bisfluence, I think the beauty of the idea of what you are presenting is the global idea, meaning I want to do a deal. I have something going on. I want to get investors. Okay. And I don't want to get spammy. I want to get real people. So in other networks, and tell me if I'm correct or if I'm wrong here, if I'm perceiving your, you know, Bisfluence in the right way. If I'm putting in on LinkedIn, for example, hey guys, we're doing this and this and this and this, and we're looking for partners. Okay. And I'm not going to get into details, but you can really contact me. So if I do it on LinkedIn, which I never do that kind of stuff on LinkedIn, then I'm not going to get into details, but people start saying, oh, he's selling us stuff, blah, blah, blah. He's there. Okay. If I, let's say, have a deal, okay, somewhere in Idaho, okay, I'm doing a multifamily deal. I don't want to get into details, but I'm saying I'm doing a deal in a very attractive place and I'm looking for accredited investors. And if you guys want to reach out to me, we'll have a conversation. On LinkedIn, you don't do that. You just don't. You could do that, but people say, oh, he's trying to sell, not interested. You know, it's like spammy. Nobody knows you. It's like weird. Will Bisfluence actually be a good platform for that type of a thing or no?
And the reason why it's hard for you to envision doing it on LinkedIn is because there's no streamlined functionality for that, which means you're basically going out with a megaphone in a crowded marketplace saying, hey guys, accredited investors. Now I've done that successfully. I found investors very successfully, but I had to like grab them, you know, look them over and figure them out. before, and then getting screwed sometimes to be, you know, where here there's functionality for that. So if I enter your what do you call it? Your profile, there are certain functions that you enable. Seeking investors could be one, seeking employees, selling, selling real estate, who knows, right? There's functions for it. Now, you can post about it, but your post is tied into certain functions. It's real. And hopefully, if you do a good job, there are reviews. It's all peer review. It's set up in a way that it makes sense for someone to follow the lines and say, okay, I'm looking for this. You guys got it. Just like just like when you buy something on Amazon, you're not going through like this crowded marketplace. It's on target. You search for, you know, let's say this humidor solution. It comes up. There are reviews. You click, you swipe, boom, it's shipped to your house, right? That is the idea. That is what people want today. In 2021, it's all about being seamless. It's a solution that's there. And all you got to do is press the right buttons.
Right.
So the feed becomes more about getting to know people, networking, having live and virtual events with people around you, a tighter community, which then enables you to do all those different functions in a very seamless way. Number one, because the trust is there. Number two, the products are there, the people are there. And number three, we're giving you the functions you need to actually make it happen easily.
So listen, it sounds crazy, crazy interesting, this whole thing. And who knows what's going to happen with this? Meaning, I know something big is going to happen with this because people need transactions. People need real things to happen online. People want to, get business done. That's what they want to do.
I mean, we look at, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but it's so important. Like we look at like, let's say the influencers and let's say the successful ones, the real ones, they've got it already. They're okay. They're making millions of dollars a year, like the top 1% that we look at. And those that have, you know, really good looks or really good talents and they're getting millions of views and followers, they can monetize like that. Okay, now they do marketing. Great. So now they have 1,000 clients paying them $5,000 a month. They have multi-million dollar businesses. And some of these people, I'm actually referring to, you know, real people that are doing that or selling courses and doing tremendously well.
Right.
But the majority of people that we don't think about are just there. They're locksmiths, they're engineers, they're you know, home builders, they're landscape designers or landscape lawnmower hustlers. You know, these are just people that want to, you know, they're here because everything is social today.
Right.
They want to make money. They just need their, you know,
They want to make a living. They're not looking to be influencers, to start a podcast, to do whatever, I don't know what. They just want to bring bread to the table and to get their businesses done.
What?
It's a great concept. It's a great concept.
But they're tied in right now. The issue is that they're tied into social because they've been told for so many years now, in the last few years, that they gotta be on there. They don't know what they're doing on there. Like, what are they doing? I just want to get locksmith clients for my little business. We're going to enable that. We'll give them the social feed that they want. They can filter, they can clean it as well as they want or not. They can have fun, but they can transact. They can finally start making money. Now, you said it's going to be a big success. Chances are it's going to crash and burn. In a year from now, everyone is going to laugh. Ha ha, look what Joel, he messed up and he raised $1 million and he still screwed up because chances are that's what happens to startups. But there's something in there. We've got really good people. We've got really a really good vision. And we've already have a very cool, good core of users that are going to grow this thing bit by bit right. by bit.
In a very short amount of time. That's very impressive. Let me tell you, I want to wrap it up meaning for the show, meaning I have meaning a certain time. And I want to if you could stick around, I want to schmooze with you just for another like 5 minutes if you can.
I got 7 minutes.
7 minutes is great. But before we do that, I just want to say goodbye to everybody. I want to thank Joel Walt for being on this show, the CRE Shark Eye show that is focusing usually on commercial real estate, but Every once in a while, we're going to get inspiration by people who are actually getting things done, are changing the marketplace, are doing things that will get us, you know, better business, will get us to be more successful. So I thank you for being here. And guys, you will check. I'm going to put the links, first of all, for Joel Wall to get into BizFluence, join in, be a part of this community. You're just going to benefit from it. And slowly but surely, meaning and fast but surely, there are going to be apps and you're going to be able to go through your phone and do everything that you need to do in order to get.
You know, Mendy Katz, he just comes to mind because I was thinking commercial real estate, multifamily guys, management. And then I'm like, Mendy Katz, because I know him from LinkedIn. He does management, you know, multifamily management out in, I don't know, Pennsylvania, whatever. We're going to have that for any industry that you can think of. Boom, there are
awesome.
There's endless ways of transacting and
that's tremendous. So guys, join in, look at the links and look at my links also. Join in, subscribe, like, do whatever you need to do, whether you're looking at a LinkedIn, YouTube, Facebook, or the podcast. Make sure you give me 5 stars for sure. You're looking at me, do that, please. And check out the courses. You guys who are beginners who want to get into commercial real estate, check out the courses below. And with that, I'm going to say goodbye, guys, and take care. I was going to see you next week. Take care. Actually, next show. Hey, guys, thanks for joining me in this CRE Shark Eye show. I hope you enjoyed it. And go subscribe, download, do whatever you guys need to do. And I'll see you in the next episode. Take care of yourselves.